Does anyone actually use YouTube Music? Everyone uses YouTube, which has over 47 billion visits a month. Yet, YouTube Music is getting destroyed by Spotify and Apple Music. And that's despite millions of people technically paying for YouTube Premium and thus YouTube Music every month. Why? Why can't Google, with all its money and reach, build a music streamer that people actually want to use? Let's take a look at the numbers. First in the music streaming race by a wide margin is Spotify, with 263 million premium users at the end of 2024. But in second place is YouTube Music, who have 125 million paid subscribers, then Apple Music at 93 million and Amazon Music at 80 million. But wait, isn't YouTube Music losing here, but they have the second largest pool of paying subscribers? This is the figure YouTube likes to boast. Huge numbers, huge adoption. But when we look a bit closer, the picture becomes clearer. Spotify, Apple, and Amazon all offer standalone paid music streaming. The anomaly in this lineup is YouTube Music, which isn't actually a standalone service. It's bundled inside YouTube Premium, aka ad-free videos, and thanks to royalty laws, we know how many. Over 70% of YouTube Music plans come from bundles, which means YouTube Premium. So, for dedicated plans, YouTube Music falls down to about 37 million. This shows us that most people aren't seeking out YouTube Music. But there's still 125 million total customers, even if most come from Premium. Yet, it seems like none of them use YouTube Music. YouTube has over 2.5 billion monthly active users and 47 billion visits a month. Over 30% of all humans on Earth use YouTube every month. People are familiar with YouTube. Surely, they would jump onto YouTube Music, especially if they're paying for YouTube Premium and drop Spotify, or perhaps never even sign up for Spotify at all. But that's not what's happening. Customers aren't talking about YouTube Music, and artists certainly aren't. YouTube Music also has by far the worst payout, at an average of 0.2 cents per stream, 30% less than Spotify, who already isn't known for paying artists well. As it turns out, this isn't even the first time this sort of thing has happened. Google has a bit of history of spending millions on software that no one uses. Widespread accessibility, yet no adoption. To find out what's actually happening with YouTube Music, we have to go back to the 2010s. You might remember this logo, and if you do, you're probably shuddering. Google Plus. By 2010, the social media race was in full swing. Facebook was now making billions, Twitter was exploding, Instagram and Snapchat were emerging and climbing fast. At this point, Google likely thought, everyone already has a Gmail account, let's make our own social media. And it was a disaster. They forced everyone to sign up, Gmail users, YouTube users, everyone. You had to use your legal name, and if you wanted to leave comments, you had to have a Google Plus account. To make matters worse, they had a gigantic data leak, and instead of fixing the problem, Google finally pulled the plug, at last. So, what does this have to do with YouTube Music? Well, YouTube Music has the same problem. Google has a problem with adoption. All the users, all the money, but nothing more. YouTube Music is not a disaster like Google Plus, but it does have some big flaws, which boil down to three key weaknesses. If you have Premium, open up a new tab and go into your YouTube Music page. What do you see? Probably some weird recommendations. Maybe some actual music alongside long music mixes among other random stuff. This is one of the first problems. Clutter. YouTube's pool of music is unmatched. It seems like they have everything, but this isn't necessarily a strength. On Spotify, customers use it for music, so Spotify figures out exactly what you want and it's much more accurate. But people watch everything on YouTube. So YouTube Music throws everything back at you. Official songs, live performances, lyric videos, clips of concerts, podcasts, hour-long mixes. YouTube Music looks and feels like the kitchen sink. But Spotify also has more than music, right? Podcasts, audiobooks, and more. Well, Spotify puts those in their own lane and page. I'd describe Spotify as narrow and deep, but YouTube as wide and shallow. And what's also shallow is the quality, which is the second issue. YouTube will never win over music enthusiasts because their audio quality is pitiful compared to the competition. The max kilobits per second on YouTube Music is 256, even on the highest quality settings. Spotify, meanwhile, offers 320 kilobits per second, and so does Amazon Music. There isn't a true lossless option like Apple Music, no 360 audio or Dolby Atmos like on Apple Music and Amazon Music. YouTube Music is by far the worst. Why? Because it's based on YouTube, which is built for everything. It has a single pipeline which is primarily built for video, so audio tracks get crunched through that same pipeline. So the goal for YouTube is good enough, while the goal for Spotify and Apple are as good as possible. And that brings us to the third problem, feature lag. If you pause a track on Spotify on your phone, you can resume exactly where you left on your PC. Spotify added this in 2015, but YouTube only added this in 2025. Similarly, Spotify had a collaborative playlist since the early 2010s, but YouTube added collaborative playlists in 2024. And again, they still have no way to listen to better audio. YouTube Music is simply behind the competition. When you're playing catch-up the whole time, why would people flock to your platform? One counter-argument is that YouTube Music is simply the newest platform. They're catching up, and once they do, then they'll dominate. But technically, YouTube Music is almost as old as Spotify. Technically. It turns out that Google has already failed with another music app, Google Play Music. This app launched all the way back in 2011. You could buy songs like iTunes, then soon could listen to songs on demand like Spotify. But no one used it. So they repackaged it into YouTube Red, then into YouTube Music. Now they still have the same problem. But let's give Google credit here. Even if the product is slightly worse, if millions of people already pay for it with YouTube Premium, why don't they use it? Why pay for two similar platforms? What's even stranger is that millions of people already use YouTube for music. There are endless hour-long or 10-hour-long music mixes, ambient sounds, or full podcasts which people listen to every day. Yet, they still pay for Spotify. There's something deeper going on here. Over the years, we've racked up 170 million views, but we still haven't crossed 1 million subscribers. That conversion rate is worse than YouTube Music. It would be a dream come true to reach 1 million subscribers by the end of this year. And if you watching right now subscribe, that dream can actually become a reality. When Microsoft saw how successful Slack was, they made what's largely a clone, Microsoft Teams. Then they added it into their existing 365 suite at no extra cost. Suddenly, thousands of businesses jumped in and adopted it. Slack is still huge, but Microsoft managed to grab a huge portion of the market. How did Microsoft do this, yet Google struggles to? Not only that, Teams is a company product which takes many, many hours to integrate and for staff to learn. Why Microsoft Teams, but not YouTube Music? These two might sound like random examples, but they show us something important. Businesses look at things purely through cost and profit. We're already paying for Teams, so let's just use that. But companies like Google can't assume that everyone does this. If we add music to YouTube, we'll steal a huge market share without much effort. But ubiquity doesn't equal adoption. Just because it's accessible everywhere and even already integrated into your account doesn't mean customers will use it. Businesses might do a cost analysis and switch, but customers don't. Even though on paper value should win, it doesn't in reality. Behavior and emotion win. People do use YouTube for music, but not in the way YouTube wants. People open regular YouTube, type lo-fi beats or 10-hour Zelda rain, and play one video in the background. The lo-fi girl livestream alone hovers around 40k concurrent listeners, and the channel just cleared 15 million subscribers. In fact, IFPI's global consumer study found that video platforms, mostly YouTube, make up 31% of all music listening time. So people do use YouTube for user-generated mixes and long-form listening. But the minute someone wants a specific album, better sound, or a commute playlist that syncs everywhere, the muscle memory is different. They reach for Spotify or Apple Music. YouTube doesn't even come to mind, even though they just listen to YouTube for hours. As rational as we think we are, most of our purchases are done through habit and emotions. Companies might try to put one feature against another, but we gravitate towards what we know, what we trust, and how we feel. And that's the key here. This is the endowment effect. We value things we already own much higher than things we don't. You might say, Look, we're giving you premium music in YouTube at no extra cost. But customers just say, so, I already like Spotify. But this goes even deeper. There's also the switching cost theory. You know when a power company salesman calls you or comes to your door and says, you can save 10% with us, and you roll your eyes? Why? They're probably telling the truth, but the actual cost is the switching cost. Trying a new product, learning a new UX, trusting somebody else, this is a huge science that marketers study. If you're competing against a product someone already uses every day and already likes, good luck. There might not be a monetary cost, but there is a behavioral cost for customers, and it's very real. YouTube Music might be on YouTube already, but it's too different from YouTube. It just feels odd. People are going to use Spotify for most music listening, but for other stuff like long music mixes, they're going to use YouTube. Not YouTube Music, but YouTube. Habits are ingrained very deep, and we as humans don't like change. As long as Spotify doesn't royally screw up, it's going to be very difficult to drag people to a slightly worse platform, even if they're already paying for it. Being mostly the same isn't good enough. YouTube needs to offer something more. Something unique, something that makes people seek it out. Until then, it'll remain an afterthought. Google probably isn't too worried about YouTube Music though, because they have much bigger concerns, like Google Search dropping below 90% market share for the first time. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.